Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
I want to share with you on ambassadors. We are ambassadors for God. We are ambassadors like God decided He wants us to know Him as Father. He said that we should be ambassadors to God. And I don't know about you, but ambassadors are still at work currently. Ambassadors are still having influence and authority, even in these weird and strange times that we live in. That's now in a natural sense. So in a supernatural sense, all the more we need to be influencers in this time. And I want to share with you just what is an ambassador. So I looked it up, and it means the definition, according to the English dictionary, is an accredited diplomat enabled, that's important, accredited and enabled and sent to be a representative or a promoter of a specified brand, activity, or country. Now, most of all, we would realize the word ambassador, we put it to a diplomat, to something of political influence in a foreign country, and that's definitely part of it. But in the times of late, the last few years, we've seen a new thing, a new way of ambassadors, and that's brand ambassadors. And are these people by Nike would have brand ambassadors, and Puma or whatever? There's influencers and brand ambassadors, and I want to also look at that a bit, just in terms of breaking this open this morning. But it means basically an ambassador is someone with delegated authority to share or enforce a message. Someone with delegated authority to share and enforce a message. It's a diplomat sent by one state or a monarchy on a diplomatic mission to another. So an ambassador isn't in his home country. An ambassador lives in a foreign state, but he brings what his home country has, and he comes and he represents that. He has a message, a way, a culture, maybe even a philosophy, I would say, that he comes to bring to that country where he's now visiting, where he's on mission. An ambassador has full powers to sign treaties or otherwise act for the state or the monarch which has sent him. And it's a delegated authority. And that's very important for us, first of all, to realize we're ambassadors for Christ. But that should not put a heavy on you. That should not put a burden on you. By being ambassadors for Christ, it basically means that there's an authority that has sent us. There's a power that is behind us. It is not based on our performance. No, it is based on His performance. It's based on Heaven's performance. So say I'm an ambassador of the United States to a foreign country, then I'm just the messenger to that country. The performance or the authority, the influence that I would have in that country is not based on what I do, how I perform, and how I behave. No, the authority I would have in a foreign state would be based on the power and the authority of my home state. In my example now, say the United States. So the ambassador would have more power if his home state is more powerful, or the country which has sent him has more authority, more input, more influence. Now, just use that thought for a moment and realize who has sent us. Who has sent us? God has sent us. His Son has accredited us. He's saying, I've gained all authority, Matthew 28. Therefore, go. I'm sending you. Go into all the world. Go into all the world. But we go with His authority, His delegated authority, based on His performance, not our performance. So that's really awesome that it's a gracious thing. It's an empowerment. It's an invitation, but it comes not from what I do or how I perform or, sorry, how powerful I can be, but how powerful Jesus is, what He's done. And where am I sent from? I'm sent from Heaven. Ephesians 2:6 says that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Then the word in 2 Corinthians says, we're going to look at it now, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We come from Heaven, that's our home state, and we come and we influence nations on the earth. And it's really an important job, but it's a great privilege. It's a great privilege to be on mission with God. So 2 Corinthians 5:20. I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. He is the one sending us. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So that's really what this series is going to be based on. It says an ambassador doesn't have the authority to create policies, but you come and you enforce policies from your home state. An ambassador simply represents the one who has sent him, or the nation who has sent him, the power who has sent him. In our case, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is speaking through us, and we are pleading to people. We are asking them, listen, we've got a message from a higher authority. We've got a message from God. He sent us. He's enabled us. He's accredited us with a message, and that message is come back to God. Come back to God. Be reconciled to God, the God of love, the one who loves you. Come back to Him. He's got a message for you. Come back to Him. Likewise, we are ambassadors for Christ. We don't have the authority to deliver our own message. No, we don't make up a message. We just share the message from our authority, from our home country. We share the message of heaven. We share the message of Christ. We enforce the policies of heaven. Get that? We enforce the policies of heaven in this earth. And I'm so excited, because being an ambassador, some people think it's hard work. Some people think it's difficult. Some people think, oh, not another one of those sermons, Peter, thank you. No, this is exciting. This is an invitation. I mean, an ambassador is a diplomat. You get a different number plate. You get a salary from your home state. You get treated differently. There's privileges to being an ambassador. And Jesus said, we are His ambassadors. And you can go look it up. It is really the word ambassadors. We are ministers for Christ, and we preach His message, the message of reconciliation. So what is this message that we should be sharing, representing, and enforcing? As ambassadors, we share a message, we represent that message, and we enforce that message. And again, we're going to look at brand ambassadors and how that fits in, and what is our brand as Christians in a bit. I'm just going for the political side now of ambassadors. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. I'm going to drop back from verse 20, just back to 16, and then we're going to work it back up to verse 20. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16 says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. It says we need to change our way of thinking, change our way of seeing even. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I'm reading the New Living Translation, which might sound a bit different, but again, it just brings forth and encourages us that you're a new creation. You're a new person. All things are gone. New things are coming your way. How does this happen? Verse 18 answers that beautifully and saying, all of this, what is all of this? Well, this being a new creation, old things taking away, new things coming our way. It's a gift from God. It's not up to us to work for it. It is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. We have been united with God in Christ. That is past tense, by the way. It has happened. It has happened. We have been reunited with God in Christ Jesus. And God has given us this task. So we've got a task. We've got an appointment. We've got something to do. The task is reconciling people to Himself. That is our task. What is our job as Christians? Well, one thing we do, we sit at the feet of Jesus. We love and we receive the love of the Father. But we go out from that place with one thing, and that task, that appointment, that authority which we have is to do something. And that something is to reconcile people to God, to Himself. We are empowered to do that, to be witnesses. So ask yourself these few questions just to stir your thinking and to interact with me here. Who gave us a task? Who gave us this task? Well, God did. That's quite a high authority to be tasked with. I mean, if you're at work and the CEO sends you a message and would you please get onto this, then I mean, you're going to get onto it. Well, guess what? God sent you a message. God sent us a message and says, I've got a task for you. He almost says, I've got a favor to ask of you. Would you tell my people that I love them? Would you go out into all the world and share with them how much God loves them? Would you call them back to me on my behalf? This is the task which God has for us. What is the task? Reconciling people to him. Reconciling is a powerful word. So how do we do this? We get people back to God. How do we do it? We do it through reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, sharing a powerful message, a message of love. Now, if you look at it from the Strong's Concordance, I went and I looked at the word reconciliation. It is the Greek word is katalagi. It is an exchange. It is an adjustment that is restoration to divine favor through the atonement, through the payment of reconciliation. Now, if you think of this in accounting terms, you do a monthly reconciliation. You do a recon at the end of the month and at the end of the year. We need to bring things back into balance. And you need to see what's in the bank and what's in the accounts and what do you have transactions for and all of that. And then you need to bring it back into balance. Now, what this means is there was transactions. Adam and Eve made transactions with the devil. Jesus came and he said, I'll make a reconciliation. I'm going to bring you back into relationship with God, back into divine favor with God. And there was a deficit. So you couldn't reconcile. You couldn't balance the account. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to be the atonement. I'm going to be the payment. I'm going to make the payment to reconcile the account, to reconcile, as it will, the relationship between God and man, God and me, God and you. Jesus is the reconciliation. He is the payment. He's bringing it back into balance. Romans 5 says that, well, he did not just pay to get us back in line. He did so much more. And that's a different teaching. But go read Romans 5. Really study it out and find out how much Jesus has paid for us. So verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 says, for God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling. There's the word again. The world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. So this is beautiful. In accounting, you've got transactions on the one side and you need to balance it out on the other side. Now, what we think is well, we did these sin transactions, and now God needs to pay to make it up. No. If you look at what verse 19 says in terms of accounting terms, it means that those old transactions of sin has been deleted. That's beautiful. It's not just that Jesus has made the payment. No, he's deleted our past. Remember verse 17 said, all things are made new. The old things are gone. So if you go into an accounting software, you can hide or you can delete some of the transactions. Now, that is exactly what Jesus has done. It says no longer counting people's sin against them. So when we do a recon, we'll look at it at the end of the month or whenever you take stock of your life and you see maybe all the sin, the shame, the things that you've done wrong. And you sort of try and weigh it off. And this is where religion was born worldwide, whatever religion you're speaking of, like balancing this reconciliation. Am I good enough? Where's God going to measure me? What's on the one side? What's on the other side? Then I do bad things and I want to do good things and I sort of want to recon. I want to balance out. Now, this is so beautiful. It says that Jesus, because of him, God is no longer counting our sins, our trespasses. He has deleted everything that we have done wrong. Amen. That's awesome. Why? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus paid it. He wiped out our past. He deleted everything that you have ever done wrong. He is no longer counting. Accounting. He's no longer counting our sins against us. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I see Martinette says amen because she understands accounting. So this will make sense to her. We are Christ's ambassadors. This is the message. Our account has been balanced. We are reconciled. We are back, not just to zero, but we are back into relationship with God. We are Christ's ambassadors. There we go. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. What is our message? What is our mission? What is our task? Come back to God. Come into relationship with God. Why? But Peter, I can't. And my past, and I've done so many things wrong, and I think I'm just wasteful with God. Well, I've got good news for you. God is no longer counting those bad things against you. Go read the Gospels. Go see the type of people who Jesus hung out with. The people who Jesus went after. They were prostitutes, tax collectors, thieves, robbers, different people. Not the holy of holies. Not the ones who sort of thought their account was balanced. No, the ones who were so far in debt that they would never be able to get out of it by themselves. That is the message of reconciliation. No matter how far you are, grace is enough. No matter how far you've strayed away, grace is enough, because God is no longer counting your sins and your trespasses, plural. Plural is for all of us. We all have more than one. So if you've got 1 million, you're in. If you've got 2, you're in. It's for all of us. His grace is awesome. His grace is for us. His grace is more than enough. I just felt to share this with you. We are not called to be special accountants. We're not there to, I don't know if you've watched some of the TV shows, they've got these dodgy accountants, dodgy Mike, or they work the numbers. No, we are not called to work the numbers, to massage the numbers. No, we are not special accountants. We are special messengers. The accounting has been done. It's been audited. It's been signed off in heaven. Now we just come and we present the statements. We share with the world. This is how you look in the eyes of God. This is your financial statement. Your sin statement is zero. There's nothing. There's a credit to your account, because Jesus paid so much more than what you ever could offer him. Amen. That is so good. What is an ambassador? It's someone with a message. The message is forgiveness, reconciliation. God loves us. Someone who's been accredited, someone who has been enabled, and someone who is sent out. Remember those 3 points. We're going to break it down. Someone who is enabled, accredited, and sent out. You're a promoter of a country or a brand, and you are enforcing and sharing that message with others. So page with me, please, to Luke 24 and verse 44. So remember, we're an ambassador. So how are we enabled? How are we accredited? And what are we sent out to accomplish? Verse 44 says, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." That's what God and Jesus wants to do for us. He wants us to understand the living word. He opened their understanding. Verse 46, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the 3rd day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations.'" We are ambassadors to the nations, to all nations. You need an ambassador to influence nations. And that is what we are sent out to do, to be influencers, to extend and spread the views of Christianity, the influence of God's love beyond our borders, beyond the borders of heaven. Because the word says the gates of hell will not prevail if the church rise up and speak up and become the ambassadors that we were called to be. It says, "Beginning at Jerusalem, but going out. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." He says, I'm sending you out, but I don't want you to just go out by yourselves. Like, an ambassador is not just sent out and say, go make a difference. No, he's empowered. He's earning a salary. He's gaining things. He's gaining influence through, remember, the delegated authority that he has. "I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Go and wait in Jerusalem, because you've got a big job. You need to go into all the nations, but don't go without this. Go and wait for the endowment of power from on high, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, accredited by the name and the authority of Jesus, about to be enabled by the Holy Spirit and sent with a message to the nations. That is basically the last words of Jesus. I'm accrediting you, I'm enabling you, and I'm sending you out. Do not miss the enablement. Do not miss how you're going to do this. "And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." So this week we had Ascension Day, and it's really an encouraging day where he blessed us. He didn't just go away. He said, "I'm coming back. But before I come back, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you an empowerment. I'm going to give you power from on high." And that's why they were so happy, even while Jesus was taken away from them, because his spirit was about to return. The power from on high, the endowment of us, for us through God. So, what comes after the empowerment? Well, Luke wrote Luke, obviously, but Luke also wrote Acts. And the last part of Luke 24 and the first part of Acts 1 sort of overlaps. So let's look at Acts 1. Just the same author giving us a different perspective, recalling it at a different time maybe in his life. Acts 1 verse 1. Acts 1 and verse 1 says, "In my first book," referring to the book of Luke, "I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions." So there's instructions for us through the Holy Spirit. "During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. He proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God." So Jesus' message has always been kingdom, bringing the kingdom of God to earth. That was what he preached before he died on the cross, and that's what he preaches after he's risen. "Once, when we were eating with them, he commended them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So that's why we've celebrated Ascension Day this week, and next Sunday is the day of Pentecost. It's the day where we celebrate the outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment for the ambassadors of God. And it's going to be an awesome time, and we're building up to that. And I hope that I'm stirring in you just a hunger for the Holy Spirit, for that empowerment, not just for the mission is awesome, but the empowerment is what gets the mission done. So, verse 7, he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set the dates and times, and they are not for you to know." When is the end of the world? Not even Jesus knows. "But you will receive power." So Jesus says, like verse 6, they say, "Lord, when is this? And when will it be restored? And when will Rome be defeated? And when will Israel be back on its throne? And when is the end of the world?" Jesus says, "Don't worry about those things." He gets them back onto point, verse 8. He says, "But you," forget about those things, "but you will receive power." Focus on this, the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you. "And you will be witnesses to me, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," into the nations. Why? Because ambassadors are sent out to nations. "And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him." So what are our instructions? We are to be ambassadors. What are we to do as ambassadors? Well, you need to get the Holy Spirit empowerment. You need to, it's like these James Bond movies, or Mission Impossible. You get the glasses, you get this message, and then it says this will self-destruct in a few seconds. And then the countdown starts and Tom Cruise throws the glasses and then it explodes there. Then he needs to go somewhere. Then he needs to go and get the tools, get the weapons, get the empowerment before he goes on the mission. Jesus is doing the same thing. He says, "I'm about to leave you guys, so go and wait for the empowering. And then once you have the empowering, then go out and complete this mission." Not Mission Impossible, but Mission Possible. If the mission feels impossible to you, it might be that you're doing it out of your own strength, out of your own power, and not through the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. You need the baptism, the empowerment from on high. We are enabled to be ambassadors when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you right now, if you've never received the power of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, the word says that Jesus does it. It's his baptism. John baptized in water, Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I want to just lead you in a prayer right now if you want to receive this. And you can just open your hands as a way of receiving. And you can just pray after me wherever you are and say, "Lord Jesus, you made a promise of empowerment and I want to receive that right now. Please empower me. Please baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I receive. I'm open. I'm willing and wanting this. In Jesus' name, I thank you that your word says that whatever we ask, we receive. So right now, I receive in Jesus' name." If you've just prayed that prayer, you are now baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to see evidence in your life. The word is going to become alive to you like never before. You're going to be empowered like to push through, to endure, to persevere, but also to be uplifting to others, to operate in the love of God in other ways, to pray in tongues, to work in the gifts. So if you want to know more about what just happened or you want to find out more, please contact us. And we really treat when you contact us these things as confidential. We want to minister to you. We want to share some teachings with you just that it elaborates on this. And well, the first time I heard about baptism in the Holy Spirit, I got baptized, but I didn't know what happened. And I didn't see the gifts and manifestation until afterwards when I started to learn and work things out and work it out in the Word. And my life has never been the same. And I don't want you to miss out on this. I don't want you to miss out on this gift. This is good news for you. You're a baptism of the Holy Spirit and empowered ambassador for Christ. So don't miss out. Don't go being sent and burn out without having the feel to get you there. Amen. So exciting to do what the Word says, to do what God says, and to work it out. So I want you to ask you again, what are we again? Ambassadors. We're accredited, enabled, and sent out. Accredited by the work of Jesus, enabled by the Holy Spirit, and sent out with the good news message of God's love. You see, the whole Trinity is right there. It's together, God working in us and through us. So now, what is our brand as Christians? What is our brand? Now, I know there's people in the meeting, you guys are great with brands and much better than I am. But what I see in the world is what is the power of a brand? So in one of our men's meetings this week, Armand said that, well, he never even knew about Puma, the clothing brand, sports clothing, until Usain Bolt won the Olympics, beat the world record, and was wearing Puma. And all of a sudden, you think, well, Puma makes people faster. Stallies makes people cooler. Like, that. What's the brand that we as Christians carry? What is it that we really are called to be presenting, representing in this world? So what is our brand? John 13, verse 35. John 13 and verse 35 says, by this shall all men know us, that we are his disciples. By this shall they know us. How do they know someone is a Nike ambassador? Well, they're wearing the badge. You can see it. How do they know someone is a Usain Bolt is a Puma ambassador? Well, they're wearing the badge. What is our badge? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another. Now, I like John 13:35 in the Geneva Bible. This is one of the oldest Bibles in English that we've got. But it says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Some of the translations almost sounds like we're just loving each other. But I like this one, which says we have love one person to another. Who's the another? Well, your neighbor. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. But how do we get this? We receive the love of the Father. The brand ambassadors out there in the world, they don't create the products. They don't make the products. They don't design even the products. No, they just wear the products. Where do we get love? We get it from the Father. We don't create it. We don't make it. We don't design it. We just receive it and we wear it. And we walk out proudly with God loves me. Like John, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm an ambassador for God's love. God loves me. He's enabled me. He's accredited me. I'm a poster boy for God's love for me. Not for him, for my love for him. No. His love for me. He makes me look good. He loves me. And that's why I walk out and I'm a brand ambassador. So our brand is love. Our mission is ambassadors. Our empowerment is the Holy Spirit. How do we then put these things together? Where does the Holy Spirit come in and where does love come in? Glad that you asked. Let's page to Galatians 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. I'm going to read from the ERV, the ESV, sorry, the English Standard Version. It says, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you can probably mention all of those or list them, but do we have these things? Do we bear these fruit? And then people like, that's where it gets sticky and tricky, and how do I bear more fruit? And it's not works, but it's fruit. And well, let's look at it. Let's settle this. The Word says, against such things there is no law. So by keeping the law, you're not going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we are enabled to be brand ambassadors, meaning we've got all the goods we need to be ambassadors, to represent the brand so well. The brand is love. The Holy Spirit enables us. And that's why I like to look at this from the Passion, like we call it, the Passion Commentary. Again, it's not a word-for-word translation. It's a paraphrasing. But I believe they got something right in this verse. So Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23 from the Passion says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you. So, I mean, we can break that up. Like, the fruit is produced in us, but not by us. The fruit comes through the Holy Spirit. So that's why you need Him. You need the enablement. The fruit is the brand. This is what brings forth. This is Usain Bolt winning the Olympics and beating the world record. That's the fruit. But the enablement comes through the shoes that he's wearing, through the training that he's gone through. But for us, it's not so much about just working for it. No, it's about bearing these fruits. It says the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. I love that. God is love. God is a spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, therefore, for me, it makes sense that it is love. And then all the other things, which this says is varied expressions of love. So we just focus on our brand. Our brand will have joy, will bring joy. Why? Because it's love. Love brings joy. Our brand will be peace, but it will come from love. Our brand will be patience. That was how people will see us. But they won't know us by our patience. No, they will know us by our love for each other. And patience is a verification or a personification, an expression, if you may, of love. They will know us by kindness. They will know us by our goodness, but it comes from love. They will know us by faithfulness, but it's not because I'm trying to be faithful to God. No, it's because I know God has been faithful to me in sending Jesus, and I just tap into that. Gentleness, self-control. I don't know if you can see it, but all of those things are expressions of love. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, God is love, comes into us, bears fruit in our lives. The fruit is love, and love has different expressions. Love has different ways, if you may. Love has different languages, and this is the love that we show. We show it through joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures. We show it through kindness in action, not just in words, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails. Why can't we prevail in faith? Because God loves us. Galatians 5 and 6 says, faith works by love. So if the fruit of the Spirit is faith, how does it work? It works by love. So the fruit of the Spirit really is love, and then it expresses itself in all these different ways. Gentleness of heart, that comes from love, and a heart that knows that God loves that heart. Strength of spirit, how do we persevere? We persevere because God loves us. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Love is limitless. True love, the agape love of the Father, is what enables us. This is our brand. This is what we wear. This is what we bear. This is what we do. We do love, because this is how people know that we're His disciples, by our love for each other. As ambassadors, we've been accredited by the name and the authority of Jesus. We've been sent out into the nations with a message. We are bearing this brand of love. God is love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever out there will be reconciled. Whatsoever you've done, your account is back to zero. Whatsoever you think of doing in the future, you've been placed in a credit, and there's something to your account, which is the goodness of God, the faithful, finished work of Jesus, the power of the grace message. Amen. You have been enabled by the power from on high through the baptism, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what? To live a life of love, to be loved by the Father, and to personify, to live it out, to become an ambassador for God in all the world. Now, I don't know if you've seen on social media or any of these platforms when, Cheslin Kolbe, the rugby player, he gets a package from Nike, and he just shows off, and it's just boxes upon boxes upon boxes of Nike stuff. And guess what? He didn't pay for it. He got it. But why does he get it? He get it to be a great ambassador. He gets it so that wherever he goes, he's bearing it, he's wearing it, he's showing it off. Now, don't you think our Father in heaven, God Almighty, is giving us all we need to become ambassadors for love? Our brand is love. We walk with all the tools, all the gifts, all the power of God. He just abundantly supplies us with everything surrounding this brand of His love. And wherever we go, we don't wear the shirt that we've made. We wear the shirt of love, the coat of righteousness, the shoes that is placed on our feet. Why? Well, it's shoes of grace. It's shoes of love, the unconditional love of the Father. Think about the prodigal son. He comes back into family, and all of a sudden, he is just branded with love. the love of the Father. He is hugged. He is kissed. We're going to look at this next week. This is going to blow your mind next week. That is a picture of something called the Holy Spirit, but it's going to be awesome. He is branded. He's got the robe of righteousness. He's got shoes on his feet. He's got a ring on his finger. Why? Because he needs to represent the family, and he needs to represent the family of the love of God, the good Father, the love of God empowered by the Holy Spirit. All these acts, all these expressions that the Father has for the Son comes from one place, comes from love. It has varied expressions, and we too sit at the feet of the Father. Let him love you, and you will be an ambassador of his love unto the nations. We need to become disciples of his love. We need to become well skilled and well trained in the brand of love, the love of God, not the love of the world. No, the love that God has for us. 1 John 4, this is love, not that we love him. No, that he loved us first, that he gave us what we needed to now go and be representatives, be able ministers as ambassadors of God's goodness, of his love into a world who needs it desperately, waiting for some hope, waiting for light, waiting for a glimpse of God's glory. And guess what? All of that is on the inside of us, because the word says, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Out of our bellies will flow rivers, uncontrollable, causing floods of God's love, floods of his light wherever we go, wherever we open our mouths, wherever we speak into, whatever we influence. Let it be from the love of God. Jesus said, you go out and love other people. But he said, just as I have loved you. We need to get our priorities straight. We cannot do this in our own effort and own power and own diligence. No, we need to go out because we're accredited, but we need the enablement. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment from on high. We need to be loved, to experience the love of the Father, and we will be so much more effective. I trust that this has encouraged you. I trust that you've been blessed by it. I trust that you've experienced some of God's love for you this morning. And I want to ask you to go through this again. Go through the scriptures. Go and study out the love of God. What does it mean for us? And speak to God about it. Speak to the Holy Spirit to open things up to you, to show you scripture, and really to get ingrained into the love of God. It's powerful. I want to ask you again, what have you learned today? What have you learned? What do you want to take with you? Like, put it in your knapsack. Don't let this go. Who would these truths influence? How would it influence you? How would it change you? How should this change your approach to today, to this week coming? What are you going to do differently because God loves you? And that is your empowerment. And then I want to ask you the third question is, who needs to hear this? Who do you know that needs to hear this message, that needs one of these scriptures that I shared with you? Who needs to hear? Who can you be an ambassador to today? Who can you say, I'm speaking to you on behalf of God. I'm pleading with you on behalf of God. Please, he has a message for you. You can be reconciled. Reconciled to God. You are back into right standing. All your old sin transactions has been deleted, wiped out, not to be found, audited by heaven, signed off. You are approved by God Almighty. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we've got the empowerment, the accreditation, the mission to be ambassadors, to love, but first to be loved, to receive your love. Father, that our brand is love, that we can move forward in that brand, that we can become well-versed in the love of God, as it may. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice right now, that they would receive your love, that they would encounter your love, that they will find your love in the word every time they pick it up. Every time they go into prayer, they would encounter love. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're bringing it to our remembrance. What? Not our sins, no, because you don't keep track of it. Love keeps no record of wrong. There you go. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. When you look at your account, love is your accountant, and love says, I don't find anything that you've done wrong. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is praiseworthy. Father, thank you that you are love, that you're kind, that you don't keep records. of our wrong. Right now, I just pray for every person, wherever you are. If you need this to really get into your heart, to minister to you right now, just give the Holy Spirit a moment. Let Him comfort you in the fact and the knowing that you are loved, that He loves you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.